May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. 1072.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God, the Psalm number 34, and also reading in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let us also read, friends, in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. that God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. May he give us prayer. O thou most holy, great and eternal Lord God, we beg of thee that we might have granted to us now a breath of real prayer, and that we might also have that special favour of finding access to thee, O God. Thou art so holy, 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 so high, so great. We are the grasshoppers, Lord. Thou art the great God over all, the living God, the only true God, the God with whom we have to do. Oh, we beg, Lord, now that we may know that favour, that blessed freeness, that favour, Lord, of approaching our God in Christ. We plead the precious name, O God, our Father. We plead the name of thy dear, well-beloved Son, as we venture to approach thee now. Oh, as we sung recently, Lord, this is the name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. So we beg for each one of us, Lord, as we are in the service at the time of prayer, especially as the form and way of our services are conducted, Lord, and followed, as we statedly worship, as the dear friends do here. Oh, we beg, Lord, that we may come together to the throne of grace in our personal and yet common need, if we know it, as sinners before thee. Oh, Lord, we are sinners. We are unworthy of thy notice. We are amazed that thou hast not cut us off and cast us away. Oh, we feel so humbled under the amazing wonder of thy long-suffering goodness. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins deserve, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And that we can come and meet with our friends who we love in thy name, around thy word, and as we are found here with our friends here in this time-honoured sanctuary, we pray, Lord, that today we may blessedly know thy wonderful presence, even Jesus, the Son of God, in our midst. O dear Holy Spirit, do come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us this day. Thou knoweth each one's burden, Lord, if they are burdened, if they are exercised. Thou knoweth the burden of our sin and guilt. Thou knoweth the feeling, deep sense of painfulness and grief, Lord, that we have to know and feel and do feel even now concerning our sinnership. We cannot keep ourselves, Lord, but we would not just make statement of that to make some way or even give some inkling of excuse. We are guilty. We are guilty before God. And Lord, our deep grief comes because our sins grieve thee, our God who is a God of love. No, Lord, as we hope we have known and tasted the redeeming love of God, no, this makes us more and more to feel deep sorrow. Lord, that we are such as we are. Oh, Lord, so prone to wander. And Lord, the wicked thoughts and inward lusts and the pride, Lord, that rises. Oh, the unbelief. Oh, the fearfulness and besetting sins against a gracious God, sins against his name and blood, sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Lead us, Lord, by faith this day to Gethsemane and Calvary. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how we've been reading those wonderful truths, solemn yet wonderful, in that there is a way of salvation, there is a remedy for sin, there is hope for sinners. Oh, Lord, we bless thee for this wonder wonders. Oh, we pray that today we may be led into these things of thy blessed favour, of the love of Christ, the love of God. Oh, Lord, do come for this to each soul that is brought by thee to be concerned, to pray, to need salvation. And, Lord, if there are any gathered among us with us here this day who are careless and unconcerned, or any that are in a legal stand, thinking they're all right when they are in danger of eternal judgment, oh, Lord, oh, thou knowest the cases. Deal with them, dear Lord, according to thy will, and convince of sin, and lead to Jesus' blood, and to such may they know, may we so know it and acknowledge it. Oh, lead to Jesus' blood and to our wandering view, reveal the secret love of God. Oh, may there yet be many brought, drawn, called and then drawn by thy love, and to acknowledge and praise thee, Lord, in thy time, according to thy will. We remember friends who are not with us, Lord, those that are away seeking rest and change. You know how it's been conveyed to one, and dear friends are away on holiday in the West Country. And Lord, we pray that as we expect they will gather with their friends at Chard, Lord, thou knowest we desire to pray and remember them, and thou wilt bless them there. And Lord, others in other parts may be, thou knowest, but Lord, thou knowest the movements of every one of thy people. We trust, Lord, we are led of thee, not to go, Lord, our own way. How prone we are to this, but oh, to be in thy fear, as we have read that favour, to be taught the fear of the Lord. Oh, what a favour it is to know it, to have the filial fear of God in exercise. We pray, Lord, we may each know this favour. And so we may we remember, Lord, that we're not our own. We are bought with a price. And all the concern that we should have in that way, and to honour thee and acknowledge thy wondrous goodness. Oh, what thou hast done, Lord, the wonders of redeeming love. So help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth this day. Hear, Lord, and those that are away, may they know this favour, of thy favour to them, and to worship our God with prayer and with praise. And publish his word and practice it, Lord, as well as to hear. Receive if it is that we need to, Lord. Receive with contrition the deeds we have done. And all that we might know, the wonder of wonders, the blessedness to take by faith the remission God gives in his Son. I know it, Lord, each burdened one here, Lord. Thou knowest how they need thee, Lord. Need a fresh revelation, a fresh application. Lord, we've read how the apostle believed that he was led to acknowledge, he could acknowledge it in writing to those dear Romans. Oh, we have received the atonement. May there be those here today who can acknowledge this, Lord. Before the day is closed and out, Lord, may there be those so given to be able, without presumption, to acknowledge I have received the atonement. We need a fresh application, Lord. Oh, we need, Lord, that blessed favour granted again, the blood applied. But when it's applied, it does us good. And so, Lord, may it be thy blessed favour to so favour thy people, Lord. Oh, to so bless them. And in this way, which is thy way, the only way, really, of thy getting to thyself honour and glory. Thy dear people, bless, will glorify thee, will praise a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, oh, may it be, Lord, in the way of the working of the Spirit, that so today we are in this favour, this blessed secret. And Lord, thy people will be still praising thee, Selah, as we read in the psalm. Who knoweth the afflictions of thy people, Lord, and the trials. All those that have afflictions and trials, and some may have very great worries and concerns, Lord, over matters. Thou knowest all about them, Lord. Thou knowest each saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are born and they're for sin. They daily mourn. Dear Lord, do attend to the cases. Favour them, Lord, and they might know that blessed quietness and confidence as thou dost so bless and favour them, Lord. And, O Lord, we pray thus there may be this day the poor servant of God needs much help, Lord. And O thou, Lord, a word came even on our journey here this morning, and it was not in that we had been neglectful in seeking and trying and begging to be prepared for this day. Lord, sometimes it is that wherever we've been in the Word in meditation, the time comes when thou dost give another word. And Lord, thou knowest how it's been so this morning. And Lord, we need much help, for we haven't had any premeditation really. Thou knowest, Lord, the blessedness of thou didst come to us in our journey here. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thus it may be in thy sovereign purpose, so proved that thy blessed purpose is to so bless and even bless with the highest favours of thy love, even to set some soul a gospel liberty if it could please thee. Oh, that some soul might so be melted and blessed and be in the wonders of thy favour, Lord, to bless thee for the wonders of redeeming love, and that the holy sacred peace that we know by experience comes with that blessed application of the atonement. Oh, may such be in sacred peace, joy and peace in believing. O Lord, thou knowest thy will. Thou knowest thy sovereign purposes. Oh, we pray it may be as we sing, his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every year. The bird, that's been so bitter, that has been experienced, the bird may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Oh, Lord, we think of flowers, the flowers. Oh, the wonder of them, the miracle of creation, the miracle of every open flower. Oh, we think of the wonderful figures in thy word of thee, Lord. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Oh, Lord, may it be that thy blessed favour is such to souls today, they may be so favoured, Lord, in wonder and amazement, and so praise thee, Lord. Oh, to know thee, our best beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Oh, come and feed, Lord. Come down into thy garden and eat thy pleasant fruits. Thou knowest our love to thy people here. Thou knowest over long years now. And Lord, we look for thy appearing. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, Lord. When we were with them recently to hear the most deep and blessed sermon, Lord, we felt that all the discourse was so showing love to souls, burden for souls. And Lord, as thy sermons come, may this be more and more revealed and proved. Love to souls, love and desire to thy honour and glory. And so bless thy people. Oh, feed them also. And lift them up forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. May these wonders of thy grace be witnessed here in the little church built up, yet, Lord, bring in those constrained by thy love. Bless souls abundantly. They may tell to sinners round What a dear Saviour they have found. And all may be to thy glory, Lord. Oh, we pray, may it be as the benefits of thy favour and grace are known and are acknowledged by thy people. The benefit is ours, be all the glory thine. Hear our prayers for our country, Lord. Oh, thou knowest how we wait upon thee day by day for it. Oh, thou knowest the sadness, the awfulness of how things have been brought in this year. Keep that wicked practice away from our chapels, Lord. Help us, give us grace to stand. May we stand with our loins girt about with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and pray in with supplication for all saints. Oh, may we live by prayer. Oh, and cast in all our care upon thee. Give us that blessed confidence in thee. And we may have that strength of girding, being girded with strength under the battle. Fight the good fight of faith. Help us, Lord. Give us all grace. All needed grace. We believe, Lord, thou will. We believe as we pray. We shall have the petitions we ask of thee. So we beg thee, Lord, hear thou, in heaven thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive, Lord. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1050. When shall thy love constrain this heart thy own to be? When shall the wounded spirit gain a healing rest in thee? 1050.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the second of the readings, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, and the verses 18 and 19. The fifth chapter in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, verses 18 and 19. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Friends, as we were coming through one of the villages on our journey to you this morning, a little couplet found in what we've announced by way of a text this morning came with such power to us. It's a short couplet, but it's among the greatest statements in the whole Word of God. And that couplet that God spoke, as it were, those words, God spoke to me with power, so affected me that I felt I must leave all what I'd been meditating on and come before you with this word. The words are, justification of life. Justification of life. Oh, friends, this, as I trust God's given me some understanding of it, it must be among the greatest statements in the whole Word of God, justification of life. Because, you know, we are all, and I would carefully put it, not wanting to add or take anything from Scripture, but we are all, we have to be brought to know, we're all, by nature, in the state of justification of death, if I may put it like that. We have it clearly set forth in the context of this latter part of this chapter. It is acknowledged concerning Adam's transgression and the offence, and how we think of it in the terms of what we sometimes sing when Adam, by transgression, fell. He ruined all his future race. Linked in clandestine league with her, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. You know, it has struck me ever so much in pondering in the minutes of our coming along. Oh, so much today. Millions and millions of people in the world would totally reject this. Wouldn't want to know anything about it. None of us do by nature. But, you see, oh, we're in a modern age. Oh, there are so many great inventions and some very good. But, oh, here we get carried away with these things. You know, it really touched me when our dear friend prayed and expressed thankfulness to God, that God had spared me, spared one as his servant. I believe our friend prayed in much love and affection. He said he thanked God that God had spared me to come to you once more. That really touched me. You know, none of us should take it for granted. We're dying sinners. one of the deacons that writes to me regularly before I go to preach to one of the chapels. He always puts it in his letter, we're dying. We're poor dying sinners. Poor dying worms. We're dying. And how it is so we are. The moment that our lives begin, and I think you need to consider that spiritually especially, the moment that our lives begin, we all begin to die. And there's something very blessed about that too. Dying to all hope in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of vital experience, friends. The moment that our lives begin, the hymn writer got it, is sometimes needing to be considered with poetic license, but the reality of it, the moment that our lives begin, we all begin to die. Now here we have justification of life. Now, I do hope and pray that many souls here today will be able to lay hold of this before the day is finished of our gathering together, that you may be able to acknowledge, you, even you, and me, even me, have this favour, have this, being in this secret of justification of life. It's absolutely nothing of us, nothing of nature, nothing of man, this. It's all of God, justification of life. But to come into it and to consider it, friends, in this context, the dear apostle is led much to acknowledge the realities of the fundamental truths, the truth of God, the truth as it is revealed to God's people, that sin entered and death by sin. However modern we are, however we may have in many ways things of help and prosperity, of provision, of material things, all those things, nothing can change this. Sin entered, and death by sin. And God, the holy, holy, holy God, pronounced it in the Garden of Eden. Oh, that death had entered. Death by sin. And all the consequences were by God spoken on. Oh, in the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread. The earth will bring forth briars and thistles. Oh, that fair, blessed Garden of Eden was marred. Oh, how it is, oh, thou hideous monster sin. What a death hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. We from time to time make our way to visit friends in hospitals. Since once been in the ministry and come to know many friends up and down across the land, we have travelled sometimes considerable distances to visit a friend very ill, coming near to his or her end. We were in a hospital recently, when doctors came and gave to the dear man we love in God's name that information that they could not do any more for him. Oh, how you see, we're all mortal. We're all under that curse of death, and death must come. Death will come to each one of us at God's appointed time. Some earlier in life than others. Oh, do you young people lay to heart and consider, you may have many of those things I've mentioned, modern thoughts and intentions and inventions and ambitions. But you know, Oh, how solemn it is, death could so suddenly come. Where will you be? How will it be with you? Is there any justification? Anything of this? It's a high, holy doctrine. But is there any evidence of justification of life? Everything of us is, as I've said, justification of death. And not an annihilation. Not that we shall come to our end and that will be the end. God's word doesn't state that, not in this portion and any portion of the word of God. It doesn't state that death that puts an end to life is the real end, a complete end of a person. No, we have it clearly set forth in the word of God that when death comes to every mortal man or woman or child, their soul takes its flight back to God who gave it. Their soul is then in eternity, and after death, the judgment, the great and terrible day of judgment. No time in eternity. Nothing can be considered of any time to think then. As the tree falleth, so it shall lie. You can't move it. It can't move itself. It can't do anything for itself, and neither can any after death the judgment. But oh, friends, oh, for God's people, as justification of life, eternal life, and eternal blessedness in and through the person and work of the Son of God. This is what the whole subject is in this context. It's a favour of life, eternal life. You know the Lord of life and glory is alive in heaven, and life forevermore. He's now in his important work of his high offices in heaven. Eternal life at his request to every saint is given. That's everyone God loves. Safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven. The justification of it is the Lord has suffered, bled and died, brought in everlasting salvation, everlasting righteousness for the church. God's holy love and purposes he imputes to his people. The righteousness of Christ. They have justification of life because they have found righteous in him. Remember how we read in the psalm, and we know that psalm relates to that time when David changed his behaviour and he was driven away. But you see, he was led there to say, I will bless thee at all times. That was because under the exercise of the Spirit, he was so favoured. Though his pathway was very hard and very much he had to suffer danger and fearfulness for his life. But oh, he said, I bless the Lord at all times. But what is the ground upon which that reality is so given him and maintained in him? He speaks repeatedly there in the psalm of the righteous. The righteous. God's people are righteous. Not in themselves, not in their own eyes, not in anything of what they are or what they could think they could do, not righteous, they're sinners. But by grace they're righteous. They are loved of God. They are righteous in God's sight. They are those God has set his love upon. Those he is teaching. Those who is watching over and keeping. And he was David, wasn't he? Oh, he was. How he was kept. How he is preserved in so much danger so many times. And oh, here we read there, I bless the Lord at all times. And you know, there's something there to think and ponder regarding. You see, we have our many changes. But oh, to be in that. I bless the Lord at all times. Oh, to be in that, friends, is a great favour. And sometimes when it's very dark, maybe, but there's still a little light. there's still a little spark of grace, a little spark of faith. You must hang on. You cannot let it go. God maintains his people in life. He maintains them in the battle. He does. He does indeed. We're witnesses of it. But therefore, the word therefore in the beginning of these two verses, we've named as a text, therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came on all to condemnation. That's a solemn pact, totally, perfectly, completely true. The offence of one. That's Adam or Eve and Adam, Adam really, Adam's transgression, because it was under that temptation that Eve took of the fruit. And we know the husband is the head of the wife, as it were, and we know in that way the word is clear, sin entered and death by sin, Adam's transgression. But friends, people will say, how could that simple, solemn as it is, simple thing, people say. I'm not speaking for God's people who are taught of the Spirit saying it, but so many people do, even religious people do. How could that be the means of condemning to death the whole human race? Well, faith believes it. God reveals it. God convinces us of it. He does. This is the truth. The truth is that sin entered and death by sin. And all the apostles, all the prophets, all those who have gone before, the patriarchs, everyone taught of God in the Word of God was given, led, taught to acknowledge it. And to need salvation, to need mercy, to need to plead with God for mercy because of this. All under the curse, all born in sin and chafed in iniquity. And even the word says, in sin did our mothers conceive us. Because mothers and fathers are sinners, they can only conceive that which is born in sin. Sin entered and death by sin. So all the human race, as we've quoted, Adam ruined all his future race. Yes. Sin, and therefore, as by the offence of one. The offence was not obeying God. God said, thou must not eat of the fruit of that tree. Thou must not. The old serpent Satan tempted. Oh, thou shalt not die. He tempted. And when he saw it was good for food, fell. And oh, how sin entered. You know, there's profit sometimes in going back to that. If you're tempted to over a particular sin, oh, if God in mercy leads you back to that. Oh, when the temptation is put before you, before young souls perhaps, oh, to go back to the Garden of Eden. How it was then, just as solemn now, just as awful are the temptations really of Satan. But oh, we know we're all under sin. But oh, how the consequences will be. Oh, awful in the breaking of God's law. We have the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, and all those times repeated and the important content of each command. The first especially, as I would say carefully, thou shalt have no other God beside me. Oh, friends, what about yours and mine? Our other gods, our other lords, They rather our affection on many things, how it searches us, how we break God's Ten Commandments, how we read. And further on in the 20th verse, the law entered that the offence might abound. Oh, as the law entered into you. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came unto all men to condemnation. Do we know this? Or do we know it under conviction of sin? Has God come to us in that way to convict and convince us of our sin? Oh, do we know this condemnation? Oh, how solemn it is. Oh, how awfully solemn and real it is in those that are brought under it, into it, condemned. You may be brought into it, have to say, here I stand, condemned to die, out of the mouth of God most high. Therefore, as by the offence of one, many, a judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Judgment came. God's judgment. God, they are judged by God. They are before God condemned. And condemned under this condemnation they deserve. Every one of us deserved to be cast away into hell, to suffer punishment for our sins forever and ever. But oh, the wonderful second Adam. Oh, that same hymn, but lo, the second Adam came. The serpent's subtile head to bruise. He cancels his malicious claim and disappoints his devilish views. Ransoms poor prisoners with his blood and brings the wanderer back to God. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Now, two things really. Two important lines of consideration. Art thou a soul whom God has well convicted and convinced of your sin and ruin, the state of death you're in, and sin and ruin you're in? Has God well convicted and convinced you of this? And under that and in that, oh, how it will be. It may be especially an early experience of it. Where must a sinner fly? Oh, where must he go? But if you are well convicted and convinced of your sinnership before a holy God, if the law has in some solemn measure done its work, brought you in guilty, oh then God's wonderful ways, purposes of love and mercy shall be revealed and not made known. The law shall be, like Paul acknowledges it in testimony. He says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Oh, art thou well convicted, convinced of thy sin? Oh, dost thou begin to know? If you have known it and need and are brought to know it again, when the law's applied again, when you've slipped and fallen, when you've gone into bypath meadow, when you've strayed, when you've wandered. I'm thinking of those souls that may be further along in the journey than young souls who are young in the way. But whatever it is, whether you're young in the way, and God's begun in you, and he's making you feel your guilt and sin before him, convicting, convincing you, and you're a lawbreaker, and sin has entered, and death by sin, and you know the reality of it, as that is how you are found condemned to die out of the mouth of God Most High. But God's purpose is, really, we will, as led on, be given to acknowledge it as a wondrous purpose, because he has a purpose to reveal his Son in him, in his people. Paul speaks of how the Lord had revealed his Son in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me. Oh, how wonderful that is, isn't it? Friends, you that know condemnation, you that know the law ended and that the offence might abound, you that know this condemnation, judgment came upon you to condemnation. For you know it comes upon all men, but only those who God loves will be brought to really lay to heart here in time before they come before the judgment throne of God. Ah, there was Saul who is by the grace of God laying deeply to heart and considering how you stand in these things, because God's law condemns you and you feel your guilt. You feel before God so unholy and unclean. Oh, the law is making you know deeper and deeper the solemnity of guilt and sin before a holy God, your guilt and sin. But oh, friends, even so, look how it's put here. Oh, therefore, by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing that God's free gift. Oh, we think of the Son of God, the gift of gifts appears to show that God is love. And oh, we know God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, remember what I quoted of Paul's words? I think it was Paul. He said God had revealed his Son in him. Has God done that? You that are convicted, convinced of your sin, you that are in great need of salvation, has God revealed his Son in you? Has he given you to look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has the dear Son of God been made to you the one thing needful? Has he been made to you so great in preciousness to you? God raising you to a hope in his dear Son, the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Is the Son of God made precious to you? Is he your only hope? Is he all your desire, all your need is in him? What he has done? Oh, hell. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the Holy Son of God, oh, the perfect one, no other sacrifice could bring in the favour needed of salvation for the Church of God. Oh, it must be the sacrifice of God. God's dear Son, come to the earth wrapped in humanity to die for crimes God's people will by faith be able to acknowledge, for crimes that we have done. Oh, the wonder of it, to see by faith the Lord walking this earth, going about doing good, keeping the whole law of God, weaving that garment, oh, the garment wove by everlasting love, the righteousness which is by God to be imputed to his people, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 'Tis the garment wove by everlasting love. It's the life, the obedience, the sacrifice of Christ. It's all what he has done, all what he is, and all what he's done for his people. And so, friends, even so, what a wonderfully clear way of putting it. The dear Spirit has so inspired the Apostle. Even so, by the righteousness of one. And we know the following words are in italics. But even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, this latter part of this verse needs carefully qualifying. All men. I believe, especially if you look at the original, you find the word man and the word all and the way it's used, and we know it's the same where it's God so loved the world. It means the church of God. It means all those God has set his love upon. All men. Where the word and the name man is used, it's a word which carries the witness of importance to God. All men. All he set his love upon. Oh, this is a secret which will be granted to each one. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, God will never allow, it will never give any leave or allowance regarding or towards sinners, only upon the basis of the holy, blessed merits of Christ, his righteousness. This is what is the only hope of God's people. And so this justification of life is absolutely centered in and upon and grounded upon Christ and what he is and what he has done. And what he's doing now, I believe, should also be remembered. Oh, the merits of Christ. The Holy One. The Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. Here we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. We love thy holy name. The righteousness of Christ. And so, friends, with you and with me, oh, here we have to know more and more of the condemnation, more and more of the offence abounding, more and more the law being applied to us to condemn us and make us deeply troubled and concerned as sinners before God. But then to be favoured and blessed to look away from ourselves to this wonderful righteousness, the merits of Christ. Oh, he's got righteousness enough to sanctify us all. One of the hymn writers says, Christ has righteousness enough to sanctify us all. And so, friends, we look away from ourselves. Is this how God's led you on? Is this how God is working in you? Oh, can you say, he led me on with blessed praise to Jesus as my hiding place? Have you got that in your experience to testify of? Oh, I have known solemnly condemnation under the law of God. I know the law entered the offence mine abound in me and made me solemnly know my lost and ruined state. God saw me ruined in the full, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate by raising me to a hope in Christ, showing me myself and showing me himself and convincing me that I am unholy and ruined, and sin is mixed with all I do. But looking away from oneself to Christ, the obedience of Christ. Oh, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. And you know, it did actually come when the Lord came to this earth and suffered. That's what the apostles acknowledging. But in experience, it will come. God's perfect, particular, perfect time appointed into the very soul and experience of the child of God. As the Lord so come to you, and as that time come, when God has brought you, led you on, like we've quoted, with placid pace, to Jesus as your hiding place. And the Lord Jesus Christ is now very, very precious to you. He's made exceedingly precious. And the witness is that you're among these all men who are important to God to save. He has chosen them. He has set his love upon them from all eternity. And in time he is teaching them. He will quicken them and they'll be born of the Spirit and brought into concern, brought into understanding and knowledge of the truth and under the law condemned, brought in guilty. But then a precious Christ revealed, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, formed in our hearts, the hope of glory. And oh, he becomes very precious, even more precious far than life and all its comforts are. As God goes on to establish a sinner in the faith, will want to acknowledge it as such, that he is more precious far than life and all its comforts are. The free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. And just to go over the following verse 4, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. These are the characters that David was acknowledging in his psalm that we read. Oh, God's righteous people, those who are in God's sight, his people, in his lovely theme, in his righteousness confiding, sheltering safe beneath the cross, and oh, viewing the Lord. Oh, are we? Are we seeking for that? Has God brought us into that favour, this great amazing favour of being made righteous by God's grace? In themselves, they are utterly, totally unrighteous, but made righteous in God's dear Son. You know, this is how. And it was wonderful to me. We felt led to go to Earthlinborough on the first of the bank holiday. The bank holiday is, let me think when it was, one of the bank holidays, the May bank holiday. We felt led to go to hear Mr. Sayers there. Well, the dear man preached from those few words in Ephesians. Those sacred words they are to me. Made, accepted, in the beloved. This is the same secret. Made, accepted, in the beloved. God gives his people to be so blessed, raised to a hope in Christ, blessed to earnestly seek him, to seek to know the forgiveness of their sins, to seek to know the holy blood of Christ applied by faith to their very hearts and consciences. They need to know this favour. They need the seal of the Spirit with blood divine. And in this way, the Lord so brings them. For as by even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. That's the statement regarding the whole church of God and no others. None but the chosen objects of God's love, but every one of them, none shall be lost, none shall be without this. This is what God's brought in for his church, so that he can and will receive them unto himself. They are his in that way, of his purpose. For God's praise, a people, the prophet Isaiah makes clear, he says, this people, God spoke through him, he said, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. One's heart feels to be full with love to souls here. God's doing this in some of you. And God's purpose is to bring you to show forth his praise here in time in the church militant. He says, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. I believe they'll begin to here below, and they will sing God's praises forever in glory. They shall show forth my praise. And in this way, as the apostle deals with it, oh, the seriousness, the importance of being brought to consider how we are, what we are, how we are, every one of us, among the fallen sons of Adam, fallen, lost, ruined in the fall. But oh, God's purpose of love and mercy to those he has sovereignly chosen and formed for himself is he will bring them into the secret of salvation by grace. They will be brought into the secret of this wonderful, complete and full salvation. And oh, the height of it, the greatness and blessedness of it is to be by God's grace made righteous in God's sight and accepted, made accepted in the Beloved. That is, that God the Father must and will, he will accept every one of his people as he sees them in his Beloved Son. Oh, friends, oh, this favour of being brought by grace to be in Christ, found in him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, it brings us into this great favour, justification of life. Oh, how sure, how certain, how absolutely certain it is. Everyone who seeks salvation, yes, early experience, they must and shall be born again. Everyone who is brought to seek salvation shall be saved by sovereign grace and brought into these high favours of God's love, justification of life. Justification is the highest blessing. I go back to it so many times in meditation, to my time when one was favoured to follow the Lord on a Wednesday evening service at Hope Chapel back in 1971. And the late J.S. Green preaching, he spoke in that sermon of justification, the highest blessing a sinner can know here on earth. Justification of life. Oh, whatever is against any of God's people, however much Satan roars, however much Satan in all his craft and efforts and his continual temptations and way of working to try and bring God's people's overthrow, he cannot. They are safe in their Redeemer's hands, who bears their names upon his breast, and by the Father viewed and held and accepted in God's Beloved Son, in this wonderful, absolute sureness of favour, this ground, this holy ground, justification of life, the Saviour has suffered, bled and died, and rose again for his people, justification, his people taught of the Spirit, blessed and led by faith, to lay hold of the hope in the Gospel. Jesus Christ, very, very precious. Jesus Christ, the same they hold, yesterday, today and forever. In Jesus Christ is all our salvation, and all our desire is to praise and honour him, to live to his praise. And when we see him as he is, we'll praise him as we ought. So, friends, justification of life, brought into this blessed favour. Oh, may it be to some here such a word today, to so give you such a drawing exercise, desiring, God making you to desire to know him. You may say, some of you, well, I have had a token of his love. I do believe I am seeking for more. Oh, open thy mouth wide, poor soul. Oh, ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Oh, hell, I believe the Spirit will exercise living souls to desire more, to know more, to know more of his love, to know more of the favour of God, to know and love him. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart. You see, God will put in his people pure desires. He will give them that filial fear that works by love. He will give them pure desires. He will so inspire within them pure desires by the work and operation of the Holy Spirit. They want to know more of Jesus Christ. He's so precious. You want to know more. You want to see his face. You want to feed upon him by faith. You want to know those things that are set forth in the Song of Solomon, and so be blessed to be able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And you know, it's deep and sacred, but the spouse there, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. There's something there for you to meditate upon. How this shall be regarding you and me, if we are God's children, and regarding the church, regarding the little church here, regarding the assembly of God's people here, this hill of Zion, this garden of God's grace. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. We have witnessed times when I believe the Lord has come down into this garden. And it could be said in a figurative way, what it means is deep and sacred. But it was acknowledged by some of us. He feedeth among the lilies. Because you see, the Son of God, when his people are blessed to really, truly feel that love and desire to show forth his praise and enabled by his grace to testify of what he's done for my soul, and to follow the Lord in his ways, his appointed ways, to keep his commands, to be obedient to our Lord, our Saviour. He feedeth among the lilies. He receives to himself that just praise and thanksgiving from his children. That's the Father's children. And if you consider it, regarding the Son of God, his brethren. He spoke to his disciples as his brethren. He is the eternal Son of God. We are adopted children. He is brought to be, in our experience, a brother born for adversity, who suffered in our stead. We see him, the Father's only begotten Son. He's our Lord, our life, our all. Oh, that we might yet again witness in this scores of truth and in ours, in many more, the dear Lord coming, the dear beloved coming down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. It's put the other way round later on in the song. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £690, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 737. Gracious Lord, incline thine ear, my requests felt safe to hear. Hear my never ceasing cry, give me Christ or else I die. 737.
Thank you.
dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.